We love you now, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Thank you, Hope Elam, just for being who you are. And I'm excited to share the next part, part two, of what God has put on my heart. And I'm sharing it from a place of humility, not trying to tell you what you ought to do or should do, but I ask that you would pray. And if God says the same, let's go. So even now, last week, and you know, I'm gonna do this because sometimes in order to understand where we're going, sometimes we gotta remember where we came from. And just because it was last week, if it's gonna be a vision, it's gotta live. It's gotta be familiar. It's gotta be enough that we understand what are we saying, that who we are. So I'm gonna go back to last week and just bring us up to speed. So my hope is that you will begin to have this to really be ingrained in your spirit. So last week, I talked about being a lighthouse, that God has called us, not the building. He's called the people of God to be a refuge, a covering, a safe space, a place where people who are lost, people who don't know or understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, they can understand that there is a place, there are people you can engage, and they are a refuge, a lighthouse, safe harbor. I talked about that as a people, this is not something we're trying to do. We are a welcoming community, a place where people can come and belong, a place where you can come and know that it's okay. We're gonna make room. Last week we talked about how important it is as a lighthouse when people are trying to find their way, that people are looking for direction, when the world has given them nothing but dry places and dark spaces, and they come to the church, there ought to be something different. There ought to be some people who's got something burning, to something that is ignited inside of them, that it's okay when people cross the threshold and they're looking for direction. I acknowledge, and we talked about hardship. Hardship is a part of all of our lives. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what your educational background. I don't care where you come from, where you've been. Everybody experiences hardship. And if we're not careful in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the hardship, we can isolate. And the thing that we're struggling with, it gets darker and darker and darker. And for that reason, it is God who often takes hardship and he transforms it. It is a hardship that when they come to the refuge, when they come to the lighthouse, hardship should be transformed into leadership. They should find somebody who's willing to say, follow me as I follow Christ. That there's leadership. There's some things that they know and understand about their faith that they understand that they can get some help. It is hardship when it's transformed. You realize when you come to the lighthouse, you can have fellowship. Somebody gonna walk with you. Somebody's willing to talk with you. Somebody willing to be open. Fellowship, and I said it before, you need to know, I need to know, I'm not the only fellow in the ship. We talked about when you come to the lighthouse, when you come to this place, not only the building, but the people, they know and understand and have freedom to worship, to get into the presence of an almighty God. Sometimes when we enter in his presence, all the stuff, all the heartaches, all the headaches, it begins to start to just kind of wash away. It begins to kind of give us hope for whatever it is we're dealing with. Clarity comes. We become more clear when we're in the presence of God because he begins to whisper in our ear. It begins to take the same issues and God begins to let us know if we approach it a little bit differently with hope, with a renewed vigor, then it's in that worship. But then, here's the thing. Come on, Lucas. We spend some time in his presence, Natasha, and then we understand that God wants us to transform hardship into relationship. He is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to those who are in need, that when we fall down on our face and say, God, you got me. I know it's not you, God. The world has thrown me all these curves. But God, when I come into your presence, God, I feel like I'm renewed. God wants us to build a relationship. And then we realize, Laron, that we're not in it by ourselves, that God has given us some other people. He said, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, that we have partnership. We have other people, other organizations that we can walk with to serve this community. So we talked about it. And we talked about, listen, we are called to be a beacon of hope. What is it going to cost you to breathe life into somebody? What is it going to cost you to smile, to let your light shine in such a way they'll be like, you must go to Hope Elam. You must go to a place where people are free. So we talked about the different ships in the Beacon of Hope, but I tried to say, listen, in this vision, we're not tied to an island. We're not on our own. We are tied to a flagship. And the flagship is the Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines. We are one church in multiple locations. And so if we're going to have a vision, we should be in alignment with the flagship. The flagship in 2019, it had 10 goals in 10 years. And in those 10 goals, there were a number of different things. But as I went on my face to say, God, what are you calling Hope Elam to? What are you calling a few, not many, but just enough? What are you calling us to? And it was goals 2, goals 4, and goals 7. Goal 2, to be a unity agent, someone who would build bridges, someone who would pour into young people, someone who would reach across the aisle, regardless if you're a Democrat or Republican, black or white or fluent or homeless, whatever it is, we're going to build bridges. We're going to understand who we are. Unity agent, someone who's willing to not just come and consume and go back home, but somebody who's willing to unify and build bridges. We talked about today, we're going to talk about being a city changer. What does it mean for us to be a city changer? And how is it that a few people can change a city? Oh, we're going to talk about it today. By the way, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? If we're not going to be about what we talk about, why come? Goal 2, goal 4, and goal 7, that God is calling us to be faith builders. That we come and don't just seek personal growth, but we're looking at how can we grow my brother or my sister? How can we have a discipleship pathway? So the flagship. So what did I do? I said, well, okay, God, here's the vision. We're going to be a lighthouse 24/7. 24/7. And in that space last week, I tried to remind us that it's not just in the building. It's wherever we are. We are the light of the world. It is who God says that we are. But also, city changers. So, unity agents. That we build bridges. Unity agents. That we are people who understand that it is important for all of us to rise above the dismissive debates that we often have. Yeah, we look different. We have come from different places. But as a unity agent, we're willing to be in proximity. We're willing to talk about it. We're willing to get to know you a little bit better. We're willing to say, you know what? You didn't say that quite right, but it's all good. You know what? By the way, I didn't take it the way I should have taken it. It's all good. Can we work through it? Where else are they having the conversation about being a bridge, being a unity agent? Where else are they talking about how we can get together, just like we look right now, and represent heaven? Where else? And even if it's happening somewhere else, God be praised, we're on the same team, but we gotta be about who we say we are. Unity agents, we understand that the Christ that unifies us is bigger and greater than the things that divide us. Yes. Unity agents. Is that asking a whole lot? No, but it's going to take some. So, the reason why we need unity agents is because it's dark. It's a dark world out there. There's evil. There's hate. There's hopelessness. There's violence and anger. There's unforgiveness. There's a lot of darkness. And so as the people of God, we've got to work on ourselves that we can actually represent the light of the world. That's who he's calling us to be. It's dark, sin and evil. It is real, but so is an almighty God. He says it's time for us to light it up. As the people of God, we have mission and vision. So let's light it up. And the reason why we can light it up, because we are the light of the world. Pass it around and say, you lit. God say you lit. God said that you're light. And God says, I lit you up, something in the inside of your heart for a purpose, not to be put under a bushel, but to be put on a lampstand, to be raised up in a community, to be willing to step into dark places, to be willing to give him, give God everything that we need so that he can be glorified. Because we're the light of the world, he says we're lit. He says that we are lit. And maybe you're here, and I talked about it last week, and maybe you don't feel like you are. Maybe you don't feel like you are, but you said, yes, Lord. Maybe you don't feel like that you're on fire. Maybe you don't feel like there's something burning inside of you. But you know what? Maybe you're here and you are. Listen, where are all my people that's on fire? I just need to know you in the house. If you're on fire for an almighty God, listen, don't you know if you just let your fire burn that some other folks gonna catch on fire? I talked about this last week because we gotta get where we're going, but I don't mind running back through it. You know, sometimes you know you lit, but you don't have a flame burning. And you feel like, well, I'm not on fire. And you're just an ember. And the ember, they smolder. Now, they're smoldering in ashes often. Maybe they started off on fire, but maybe now you're an ember and you're just smoldering. And sometimes what can happen, because embers don't have a flame, you think you're not on fire. But if you're an ember, the fire is still there, but you're just not, you don't have enough wind. So what I talked about last week, that sometimes if you're an ember, all you need to do is fan the flame. All you need to do is have a little wind, a little of the Holy Spirit. That's why we come in this place. Don't you know from one song? Don't you know from one interaction? Don't you know from one word from an almighty God? It'll fan that flame inside of you. And the next thing, you can't wait to go light some up. You can't wait to go in dark places. Unless we give the enemy too much credit. We got to know who we are. And don't play with it. He's the one that can turn, make it beauty from ashes. All of the stuff that was dead in your life, if he fans the flame, he can bring it back again. So last week, we talked about fan the flame. So this week, city changers. When you look at the 10 for 10 and you see, what is a city changer? A city changer is someone who is willing to serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Someone who's willing to step outside of their comfort and actually show up. This is Hope Elam. We are so gifted in that all of the giftings of the body of Christ, it's right here. We have folks that are gifted in every area. There are many things that we have not explored yet because we have not uncovered it yet. They're sitting and it's in you. And I'm saying to all of us, there's room. The way we're going to actually be able to move and be the church is through teams. The pastor can't do it all. The staff can't do it all. But look at all of the talent and abilities in this room. Look at all the need. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What if all of us did just a little? I think we can get a lot. We can change this city one person, one promise, one prayer, one place, one thing at a time, and start to change some things. And can I suggest where we start? Here's where we start. At home. At home. If we want to invest at home, how are we going to invest in somebody else? God is calling us to say, listen, let's get our house in order. He says that we are city changers, but we start as people changers. The Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those when they say all kind of manner of evil against you and persecute you. Blessed, blessed, blessed. That we've got to be willing to walk in it. All right, city changers, goal four, develop new initiatives. That's another one he's calling us to. He's calling us to do some things that we haven't done before. Can I just drop this one thing? It's not the only thing. But October 6th, that's the time to get out your calendars. Now, October 6th, we're going to have a prayer walk in this community. And why not start with prayer? Because prayer invites God in. There's only so much we can do. October 6th, if you remember for the giving campaign, we did a prayer walk around the building because we wanted to start with us. We wanted to tear some walls down. If you know the story of Jericho, they circled Jericho 6 days, and on the seventh day, they circled 7 times, and then they shouted, and the walls came down. The walls are down. It's crumbling. It's time for us to go and rebuild some walls. It's time for us to go and rebuild some relationships and start with prayer. So we're going to go from the parking lot to Forest Avenue to 31st to Kaidas Grove and all the way back. Now, there'll be other opportunities. People can walk around the block. You can walk around the building. You can walk around the neighborhood. But there's room. And we're going to ask God to rebuild, restore, revive as the people of God, trusting. And that's one. But I gotta tell you this. Look, Lighthouse 24/7, not just an occasional event, but rather, it's a lifestyle 24/7. A lighthouse, yes, God is calling us to be light every day, every way, everywhere we go. But it's a lifestyle 24/7. It's how we live our lives. It's who we are, not just a place that we come to. So how are we going to change the city? It's our lifestyle. People don't need to know where, if it's Hope Elam, they just need to know we're a child of the King. They just need to know that we love God and we're willing to do what he calls us to do. So I'm saying, when we say, let's go be the church, what are we talking about? We say it every Sunday. Now that we've come and had church, let's go and be the church. What are we saying? What does it take to be the church? If we're going to go be the church, we're going to be city changers. It's our witness. As the people of God, we shed light because wherever we go, because there's light in us and we're lit. When we go to places, dark places, any place, because of who we are and our hearts and our minds are in the place and the space that we want to honor God, we're looking for opportunity to shed light. We're looking for an opportunity to be loving and kind. We're looking for those opportunities because of our witness. We become known as people of compassion. We become known as people who understand how to be forgiving and extend grace to people when they don't deserve it. What does that do, Pastor Brown? Well, it makes you a witness, but it also makes you attractive as light. They see something in you. They see something in us. And from that, they understand that there's something different. God is calling us to be city changers wherever we go. Whatever aspect, whatever organization, whatever association, whoever it is, wherever we step into, God says, shine. Shine in a way that people know that you belong to the King. And don't be discouraged when people don't accept you. You know, they didn't accept Jesus. Light came into the world and the world received it, didn't receive it. They were lovers of darkness more than lovers of the light. So God says, be a witness. God says, keep going. He said, not only shed light with your witness. He said, but speak life with your words. Do you want to know how we can change the city? Build up and don't tear down. Speak life. Even when your flesh rages, you want to get them back? Speak life. You want to know how you can change your home? Change the culture and the atmosphere within your house? Speak life. When people, they go left and they should go right. You know what I mean? Sometimes all you got is like, it's okay. God be praised. We're good. But mean it. And then step back into it and do the work. It's your words. God says to all of us, life and death is in the power of the tongue. God says to us, sometimes it's our words. We try to talk it over, but the words got in the way because of our fleshly nature. God says, slow down and breathe. I'm going to help somebody. When you're ready to talk it over and you know your flesh is rising, I'm saying take a deep breath and blow out the spirit in front of you. Now talk. Let the spirit go before you enter into that conversation. Slow it down. Get some air under it. So I'm saying sometimes it's not just the words when you speak life. Sometimes it's what you don't say. Sometimes it's when we're just silent, when we should be speaking up. Sometimes it's not really what we don't do or don't say. Sometimes it's our body language. Sometimes it's how we look. Sometimes it's our eyes. They can't hear what we're saying because our actions are speaking so loud. So as the people of God, how can we pump the brakes and say, God, here I am. God, I went to church. God, I know I'm light. I know that I'm lit. And you called me to go in dark places. And God, when I get in those places, God, I can't operate the way I used to. God, I am the light of the world. God, I just got it. Sometimes it's just being present. Sometimes it's just our silence in the midst of that situation. And they know. They don't know, but they something is turning on the inside. And they're wondering when he going to talk, when she going to talk, when they going to say something. And when you do, And when you do, speak life. Speak life. Not trying to be extra articulate and trying to show them that you know something. You know as much as God allows you to know. We don't know anything in and of it by itself, but God will whisper in our ear and he will give us words to say. When we walk out of that meeting, when we walk out of the house, when we walk out of that classroom, we'll look back as we're walking back and we're thinking, God, that was you. I don't know how I said that or what, where it came from. God, but I thank you. If you walk out thinking, I told them, darkness. Darkness. God says we are the lifestyle 24/7. It is the person cut you off with the basket in the grocery store. It's the way the clerk looks at you. I'm serious. If you're going to go there on a regular basis, they're watching you. What's different about the church and the world? It's our witness. We shed light. It's our words. We speak life. It's the work that we do. God says, go to work. If you want to go to work, spread love. Spread the love of God, compassion. Spread kindness. Be tender to people. People respond because it's not usual. It's so dark. When you respond with light, they're attractive to it. And little by little, it begins to shift and change the city. I'm talking about this community, the ones who walk in that don't look like you. The ones that keep coming in, they can't respond, they can't articulate, they can't communicate like you. God says, love those who don't look like you. He said, because in doing so, you entertain strangers, you entertain me. He said, well, God, well, when did we entertain you? It's when you fed the hungry. It's when you clothed the naked. Either we're going to spread love, we're going to do what we do motivationally for love or from love. If we're going to spread love at all, either where is it coming from? Is it from love? And God, because I love you, God, I'm just going to give you what I got. God, it's uncomfortable. I don't want to do it, God, but you know, I know it's you. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. God, I'm just going to speak life. I don't know what the outcome going to be. It may not be what I want, but God, I'm going to speak life. I'm going to spread love. Do the work. That's what we're called to, a lifestyle. Sometimes we come to church, and then we say, let's go be the church, but we never be the church while we're in church. How are we going to know, go be the church, and we're in proximity as the people of God, but we're not being the church? If you would, simply turn to the person to your left or to your right. Get their name and say, God loves you and so do I. And if you so choose to speak life, speak life. Come on, there should be some chatter going on in this place. There ought to be something that you get to know somebody you don't know. Can the church be the church? Just get to know somebody. We ain't gonna stay long, but can we be willing to have a lifestyle where we say, listen, all I want to do is just let you know I see you and that God loves you and I'm trying. As the people of God. Can you say amen? Yeah. A lifestyle. 24/7. All right, so the text. The text. In Isaiah 58:10. Isaiah 58:10, it says to us, feed the hungry. Be the hands and the feet. That's how we shed light. And he says to all of us, help those, then your light, when we become hands and feet, then your light will shine bright. It is when we serve, it is when we extend a hand. At that moment, we shine brightly. That's not rocket science. You know that when you go above and beyond, you know that you are being an example and an ambassador of the Lord, especially if that's your motivation. So if you never feed, you never extend, how can you shine? He says to us, feed the hungry. That's the time that our light shines the best. And I thought I would couch it since the time is well spent, but watch this. I will couch it with John 4, when Jesus, when he left Jerusalem and he was headed to Galilee. And in Jerusalem, the Pharisees were upset because Jesus had baptized more people than John the Baptist. Jesus himself didn't baptize them, but the people, as they were listening, as he was speaking life, more were being baptized than John the Baptist. And the Pharisees were upset. So Jesus was leaving. He was going from Jerusalem to Galilee, but he must go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria, and Samaria and the Jews didn't get along. But while he was tired from his journey, he stopped at Jacob's well. And while the disciples had gone out to get food, Jesus was at the well, and this woman showed up at the well. And at the well, there was this interaction, these words that were exchanged, and Jesus began to speak life. He began to shed light on her situation. And in that situation, Jesus replied, said, look, to the woman, if you only knew. First, she's like, why are you asking me for a drink anyway? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You know, we don't play that. And Jesus replied, he said, look, if you only knew the gift of God. If we only had some light shining in that situation, if we only could see it, we would see the gift that God has for us. If we only had somebody to shed some light on the situation, he said, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. He said, because you keep coming to this well, you're going to thirst again, but if you drink of me, I'm going to give you something, I'm going to give you a living water that you will never have to thirst again. He shed light on her situation. In Isaiah, the 11th verse, it says, not only shed light, but speak life. It says, the Lord will give you continually, over and over and over again. He will give you water in your dry season, water in your dry places, water. He will give you everything you need, because without water, there's no life. And can I just tell you, the water that he's talking about is the Word of God, is the Spirit of God, a constant pouring of the Holy Spirit. It is only through the Holy Spirit, only through the Word of God, that we got eternal life. I'm saying, speak life. And when we do, it'll be constant, a constant pouring. He said, we'll be like a well-watered garden. Hobielam, I see us saturated. I see that the water is continuous. It doesn't stop. That people are coming and they're getting what they need. And there's enough for everybody. This well-watered garden has little to do with us, has everything to do with the source of where the water comes from. And so I'm saying, speak life. Even now, at the well, Jesus encountered the woman. And as he began to speak life into her, he said, listen, he said, woman, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I'm giving you will never thirst again. He said, that's where eternal life is. Speak life. And then finally, in Isaiah 58, verse 12, you might say, well, Pastor Brown, where is the spreading of love? Where's the love in the text? Some of you, he says, will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. He says, some of you, then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. You know how much it takes to rebuild something that is broken? You know how much it takes, how much love covers a multitude of sin. Do you know how much it takes to take something that has been crumbled, something that has been broken, something that has been destroyed, and put it back together? You know how we can be used as ambassadors for God to rebuild walls of poverty, rebuild those walls of hate and unforgiveness, that when somebody come and all the walls they got built up and all the things that have been crumbled, and they come and you just have somebody give them a hug and love on them, and they begin to be restored. And then when they're restored, they go back home and they go get their significant other, and then he comes. And then when he comes, they come together, and now their children start coming. And now all of a sudden, they tell their neighbors, and the neighbors give it a try, and then now their children are coming. I'm just talking about city changes. I'm just talking about doing what we do. I'm just talking about one person at a time. Spread love. And many of the Samaritans, after this woman had encountered Jesus, she went back home And she said, come and see. A man who told me everything that I'd ever did. Come and see. This woman went back to Samaria, told all her friends, they came and got with Jesus. I'm talking about a city changer. I'm talking about someone, one person who can change everything. Maybe it's you, why not you? So, lastly, water is life. In Ezekiel, we find that the prophet was given a vision, and the water source, it came from the temple. Imagine the water running from the temple out of the wall, out of the doors. And the water is nonstop. And the water continues to run into dry places. And no matter where you are, no matter what your dry place, no matter what your situation, water comes up to your ankles. And the water keeps flowing, and it comes up to your knees. And you keep walking in the vision, the water come up to your waist. And before you know it, that which you could walk no longer can walk. Matter of fact, you can't even swim across it. There's so much water. And in the vision, you're taken back on the banks of the river. And as you look back, all the dead trees, all the dry places, they are saturated. And now all the trees, they're filled with fruit and leaves. And when you look back, you realize the fruit is for the people of God and the leaves are medicine for the healing of the nation. The water is the love of God. The water is the Spirit of God. And you say, well, I went to Hope Elam. Peanut Head Pastor was talking about a vision. And in that vision, he talked about, we are a lighthouse 24/7. And he talked about a lifestyle 24/7. But what did he talk about? He said, it's important for us that we shed light. And that is our witness. It's important that we speak life. That we use our words to build up and not tear down. He said that we are to spread love. He said it's important of how we go to work and do the things of God. He said, that was it. What am I asking you? Well, you think that's possible? Well, I don't know. I think I can do that. But that's the vision. The vision. A lighthouse 24/7. A lighthouse. A lifestyle 24/7. That we are unity agents. That God is calling us to be city changers. And next week, we're going to talk about how we can be faith builders. Lighthouse 24/7. So as we close, I'm saying for all of us, the water is for the healing of the nations. The light is for the healing of the nation. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. God is calling us. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, Revelation 22, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The vision, it flowed from down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. Each month, as the water flows out of this place, as the light shines in this place, each month, a brand new crop, brand new fruit, brand new opportunity to make a difference in the house of God. Each month, one fruit, two fruit, three fruit, whatever it is. But each month, says it was the leaves, not just the fruit, but the leaves for the healing of the nation. That's what we call to a lighthouse, city changers, 24/7. I don't know what else to say. But can you imagine with all the faith in this room, with all the faith, what God can do if we kind of stand together and we give God his space to move in and through us? Can you imagine? Nothing is impossible without God. Until next time, will you stand and join me as we sing Jubilee? Now, here's the thing. This is for us to start right here, right now, rebuilding, restoring, reviving, being willing. Wherever we go, no matter where God takes us, no matter where we plant our feet, 24/7, lighthouse and a lifestyle. Amen? Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for an almighty God.